We are talking about old souls, new souls, reincarnation, past life regression therapy with Dr. Elena Gabor. Benjamin Franklin on reincarnation. I look upon death to be as necessary to the Constitution as sleep. We shall rise refreshed in the morning. Now, Benjamin Franklin wrote this epitaph at age 22, but it was never used. The body of B. Franklin, printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and gilding, lies here, food for worms. But the work shall not be lost, for it will, as he believed, appear once more in a new and more elegant edition, revised and corrected by the author. Back with more of my conversation with Dr. Elena Gabor as we discuss reincarnation here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett with you, along with Dr. Elena Gabor, author of Home at the Tree of Life, an introduction to subconscious ethereal science. What is ethereal science, Dr. Gabor?
It's the subconscious science. It's a different term. It's the science of our subconscious universe. And another term to describe that would be the ethereal universe, the ethereal field of the earth, the energetic aspect of the physical, the material world. So basically on earth, there are two fields coexisting in the same space to describe in this manner. So it's the physical, everything that we could touch with our hands and see with our physical eyes. And it's the ethereal aspect, where we live as souls. We are physical beings and subconscious beings, souls, right? So we are living two lives at the same time on earth. So that's why it's important to take care of the subconscious aspect of you as well, to look for the goals souls have as well, to understand who are you as a subconscious being, who are you as a consciousness, what is your purpose of life, why are you here, what should you do to have happy and healthy lives. So you know what, answers are there in the subconscious universe.
So do you believe that the soul resides in the subconscious mind?
The mind of the soul is the subconscious mind. The subconscious aspect of who we are is mind, actually consciousness, and body. We have a subconscious level of the mind and an ethereal body, the energetic body. You know, science says that we're energy. Actually, we're not physical. So that's our energy field. So as subconscious beings, we have the subconscious mind and the energetic body. Now as higher self beings, as spirit consciousness, we are pure consciousness. We have no body in that state. We are pure consciousness. I don't even know how to describe consciousness other than it's the substance that's at the base of everything in existence. It's the field from which everything is born, matter, energy, everything that exists in all universes.
So then what is the difference between the spirit and the soul?
The soul is the subconscious level of the mind or awareness, and the spirit is the higher self or superconscious level of awareness. It's a higher level of awareness than the soul. The soul is what you are in the physical body. It's the consciousness that you are in the physical body and in the ethereal field of the earth. When you travel to see a past life, you get into the soul state. When you dream at night and you realize that you travel in your dreams or you're at somewhere else engaged, you're not in the bed. We all dream of these things. We realize that we're not in the bed the entire night. We realize we have other experiences, engaged with other people, doing something else. We have a dream body. That's the ethereal body. And then when we pass beyond that light that people describe in near-death experiences, and it's the light that also people see in hypnosis when they go through the death process in a past life, they enter that beautiful light, the light, and that's the light. It's a protective energy field of the universe, of the ultimate reality, of the universe, the infinite universe from where all souls originate. So it's basically the gate of heaven. That's how it's described in religion. It's an energy that purifies the souls, removes all the blockages from the energy field, demagnetizes all the blockages in the from the energy field, and helps the consciousness release all the disempowering beliefs. And as it passes, as you pass beyond the light, you enter that ultimate reality and you shift in the superconscious level or the spirit level of your consciousness. And there is pure positive energy. You have access to everything. You're able to see everything that's happening everywhere from that higher perspective. And you're able to connect with whoever you choose, including with the source of life or God or however you want to name it, that's also there in that ultimate reality.
Now, here's the big Lollapalooza question, and that is, and whenever there's a discussion involving spirituality, this question always comes up, and that is, why is there suffering in the world? Let's say, for example, you see, and it's devastating to see, you know, let's say, for example, a young child in a wheelchair, to live out their life in a wheelchair and to suffer. Why does that happen? What's the purpose of that? Is there a purpose?
This is a great question, and there's so many forms of suffering. We see that every day in every form happening to everyone, right? So souls design their lives, actually, at the higher level of consciousness, at the spirit level, you design your life. You don't necessarily choose to go through pain and suffering, but this is a tribute that you will pay because you're coming in a dual reality where positive and negative vibrations coexist. So Earth is a dual reality. We all know that. So when you come in this reality, you start forming your conscious mind, you get all sorts of beliefs from the books you read, from your parents, from your society, and then you start having your own experiences, you draw your own conclusions, and some of those beliefs are very positive, very empowering, they're correct, and they form the positively oriented part of the conscious mind. And other beliefs are really disempowering, negatively oriented, fear-based, and they form the disempowering part of the mind, the negative ego or the false self or the destructive mind. So here's the secret. You, who you truly are, you're not your mind. You're not your thoughts, just like you're not your feelings. Thoughts are something you have. Feelings are something that you have. You are consciousness. You're much greater than your conscious mind and the stories the conscious mind tell you. So basically, when you choose to identify yourself with a positively oriented program of your mind, you feel good because good thoughts determine good feelings. You're also in alignment with your inner wisdom, with your higher levels of consciousness. You're also in that regard in alignment with the source of life. And in this way, you become like a vehicle, a pure channel for those high frequencies of the source and your higher consciousness to flow through all the levels of your being, consciousness, ethereal body, physical body. Now, the problem comes when you choose to identify yourself with a drama negatively oriented thoughts create, when you start believing those thoughts and you start thinking that's who you truly are. You're not that. You're pure positive energy. So when you identify yourself with a drama negatively oriented thoughts create, you create pain and suffering. negative thoughts determine negative feelings. You start producing all sorts of stress hormones in the body that unbalance the activity of the glands and organs in the body. You experience emotional pain. And if you continue functioning from that disempowering part of the mind, in time, you'll create depression, anxiety, sleep disorders, and all sorts of health conditions. So it's just like Buddha said, suffering, pain is certain in this reality. Suffering is optional.
Okay, let's say, for example, and we've all seen these horrible images on television, a small child in the Horn of Africa, horribly malnourished, dying, starving to death. What happened to that child? Was that decision made prior to the incarnation of that child? The soul said, I want to come back as a starving child and to experience life from that aspect? What happened to that child?
Well, that child definitely, that consciousness definitely chose to incarnate in Africa. But the fact that that child died or is starving, it's because of our ignorance of not helping. When we know so many people in Africa go through such terrible challenges, and we care about, buying the latest fashion items and buying new cars and new houses and having as much as health as physical possessions as we can, making as much money as we can, and not helping, choosing to be blind. Right? That's
right,
a decision
right.
We all make, not only that child. That child is there to remind us to be compassionate, to be generous, to be unconditionally loving, to help each other.
Listen, at the bottom of the hour, and that is fast approaching, we're going to open up the phones and we'll take some calls and we'll find out from people how they feel about a reincarnation, and maybe they've had an experience with past life regression therapy. But between now and then, I'd like to at least begin this conversation, and we'll continue it after the break. And that is, I mean, let's get down into the science of the soul's evolution, meaning what happens to the soul beginning from the moment of death until that soul is reincarnated. Let's at least begin that conversation now. What happens at the moment of death?
Let's start with the beginning, when the soul actually is created, to understand other aspects as well.
Sure, we can come at it that way. Absolutely.
Yes, and then we'll get to the death process. So when souls are born from the source of life, they are very small. They're molecules of consciousness. They are inexperienced in regards to the process of incarnation. When they decide to incarnate, to begin their process of evolution, they are easily overwhelmed by low vibration frequencies and get to function from those lower levels. Through living various lives, they get to progress and reach a certain level of evolution that allows them to handle more complex lives, such as the human life. Now, after the death of the physical body, the soul returns to the light, returns home, basically, to those higher levels of existence, to those higher frequencies. We perceive, through our human perception, that transition as going into a light. Actually, it's not really a light. It's a special energy that protects that infinite universe that we call the ultimate reality, or heaven, or paradise. It's also the light that religious teachings talk about, same light that people usually see near death experience or during hypnosis or even in deep states of meditation. Now, their spiritual teachers, their spiritual guides, their teacher souls welcome them there and accompany them through all the events that the soul will experience in the light. Their souls go through a process of cleansing, because the light is a gate of soul purification, as I explained earlier. then after this process of returning to your true nature, to your real program of thinking, to the positive thinking, you go through a process of evaluation with a spiritual guide. They evaluate the progress you achieved in that life, if you've accumulated positive energy and grew vibrationally or you didn't. And the way to accumulate positive energy is to have unconditional love for everyone, to help others, to help yourself and help others. The evaluation is a very positive and loving process. It's not a judgment. And as a result of this evaluation, the soul will decide what it would like to do next. It can choose to reincarnate. It can choose to stay home for a while or stay home for good. Stay there in that ultimate reality for good. After the decision is made, the soul transitions in that ultimate reality, re-becoming the spirit consciousness or the pure consciousness. This reality is a non-physical universe, and there are places of connection of souls there, the tree of life, the river of life that I've described in my book in great details, having the guidance of the universal mind explaining to us what are those places and what's going on there and what we experience as souls there. There are also infinite dimensions there where souls go because you go in your own level of vibration and evolution to stay between incarnations. And then also you can connect with the source of life itself or God. The first stop that the consciousness makes at home is at the Tree of Life, which is the Akashic record place where all the ethereal memories, the Akashic memories, the soul memories are placed and are stored there. So you as a soul will deposit all the memories of the life you've just lived there, and as a result of that, you've re-become your spirit consciousness. You're free from those attachments.
Where did you accumulate your knowledge of ethereal science? I'm guessing you didn't have this knowledge when you were practicing dental medicine. Did it come from books or did it come from the Tree of Life, the Akashic Record?
No, I didn't have this knowledge while I was in medical school or in dental school. Nobody teaches you about these things. It's in none of the medical or dental or psychology books. This knowledge I've accumulated to working with deep hypnosis subjects, just like the people I described in my book, their experiences are fascinating. And these people have the ability to connect to such a degree to the universal mind, to their spiritual guides or masters, to God itself, that it's like talking to the masters or to God directly. It's something that I've never even thought it's possible. In those states, they talk in terms of medicine, in terms of any science, they are able to answer in a very coherent a way. They're able to describe in details how life works, how everything functions, who we really are, what we're doing here. All the answers you ask, all the questions you ask me, and many, many other questions, you know. So in those states, they're not their human personality anymore. They're not their soul personality anymore. They are the pure consciousness.
All right, Dr. Gabor, stay where you are. We'll come back and open up the phone lines and take calls as well as we discuss past life regression therapy, reincarnation, home at the Tree of Life. Dr. Elena Gabor here on Coast to Coast. We're talking about reincarnation and let's face it, it's pretty tough to prove reincarnation stories as true. But as I've been saying, some of them have elements that are genuinely mind-boggling, especially when the stories come from children that are too young to have much knowledge of the world. I talked about the James Leiniger case, the young boy who had memories of being a fighter pilot killed during the Second World War. I mentioned the young boy from the Golan Heights who knew where his body was, the body that he carried around in his previous life. He knew where it was buried, and he knew the person who murdered him. Then we have the case of Gus Taylor, who was 18 months old when he started to say that he was his own grandfather. Now, young children can be confused about their own identity and those of the family members, but this was different. His grandfather, Gus's grandfather, had died a year before Gus was born, and the boy totally believed they were the same person. In fact, when he was shown some old family photographs, Gus identified Grandpa Augie when he was only 4 years old. In addition, there was this family secret that nobody ever spoke about in front of or around Gus. Grandpa Augie's sister had been murdered and dumped in the San Francisco Bay. So the family were perplexed when then 4-year-old Gus started to talk about his dead sister. According to Gus, God gave him a ticket after he died. And with this ticket, he was able to travel through a hole, after which he came back to life as Gus. Back with more of my conversation with Dr. Elena Gabor, author of Home at the Tree of Life, An Introduction to Subconscious Ethereal Science, and your calls on past lives here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Richard Serrett with you. My website, richardserrett.com. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett. Dr. Elena Gabor is with us. Reincarnation. Now, Dr. Gabor, I mentioned the story of this young Gus Taylor, who was, with great certainty, he believed that he was his late grandfather, the reincarnation of his late grandfather. How common is that, that we come back as family members, or that we tend to travel from one lifetime to the next with the same people, although we may change roles?
Well, it's up to the soul to decide what it wants to do. Probably Gus's soul decided to return into the same family with a purpose, to help them in some way. Maybe the soul felt that it didn't finish the work he had in that life with the family members. So the soul may have chosen to come and continue that work. It's very possible.
All right, let's go into the calls here, and the wild card line, Judy in Springfield, Missouri. Good morning, Judy. Welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you for taking my call, Richard, and thank you for having this wonderful doctor on your show. I have been doing meditation for over 40 years, and my take on reincarnation is slightly different than the doctor's. When I first started meditating, I was shown what I assume would be the Akashic Records. And it, you know how the pipes and the racks look in New York where they put clothes on them and run them up and down the streets? My past lives were like hanging on these racks. And I had been a man, I had been a woman, I had been all different races, all different, by the clothing that I could see, different characters, different people. And through my experiences, I have found that my physical problems I have now are like layers of an onion from past lives. And I noticed at one time I was extremely upset when my son's thumbnail was torn off, way out of proportion, because I'm not usually the type of a person that gets excited about anything. And I went to meditate to see what was wrong, what happened. And I found out that this was a point at which a past physical ancestor's life had misperceived a grandmother who was dying of diabetes, but all they saw was the ulcers on the legs. And that was a misconception. And on the other side was a soul life where I had been a warrior, young man, I had been killed, And they showed me different things that I was later able to look up to see, to verify that that really were circumstances. And that point was 100% reality of a past life. And that point came together, and the misconception and the reality showed up in my being overreacting. And it was very interesting because they worked together. And I have discovered that I tolerate people much more lovingly, knowing that all of us in past lives have gone through many of the same things that people are going through now.
Judy, thanks for the call. Dr. Gabor, did you want to weigh in on Judy's call?
Well, I think that meditating for so long is a wonderful thing, and meditation has amazing results. There are a lot of studies, scientific studies, that prove the benefits of meditation. So I would encourage everyone who is willing to progress in this life, who's willing to make their life more beautiful, to feel better, to meditate.
All right. Again, Judy in Springfield, thank you for that. Let's go back to the wild card line. This time we're going out to Honolulu, and we welcome Ramu to Coast AM.
Hello, and thank you.
Good morning.
I have a question. I'm a clinical hypnotherapist myself, and I've done many, many regressions and progressions. And since all time is now, I'd like to understand the process of this life, where as a child, what is happening to the child at this moment, if all time is now, and the aging process and the death process. Could the doctor explain that, please?
All right, Ramu, thank you for that. Go ahead, Dr. Gabor.
So, quantum physics is starting to point out this theory that all experiences are happening at the same time, that consciousness is non-local, that there are other versions of reality coexisting at the same time, basically other versions of our lives coexisting at the same time, all the lives we perceive as being past lives existing at the same time, all the lives we perceive as being future lives with all the possibilities that can occur in the future coexisting at the same time. So basically, we are multidimensional beings having lives at the same time and progressing at the same time through all those lives. I know it's very hard with a conscious mind to understand this concept, but I have an analogy. Imagine a river, for example, Mississippi River in the United States, going through a few states, through many cities, many towns, many areas. It's the same river in all those cities, all those places, all those towns. So basically, all those places, cities, towns are your lives coexisting simultaneously, and you are the soul that passes through those lives. You are the river. The soul is a river of consciousness, energy, and love, basically, that flows through all those versions of reality based on the vibrational frequency that soul has. The higher frequency it has in every moment, the better versions of reality it has.
Ramu in Honolulu, thank you for the call. When people come into our lives, Dr. Gabor, I'm guessing that I've always felt this intuitively, that it's not an accident. There's a reason someone comes into our life. Does that have anything to do with a previous life?
It may have to do with a previous life. It may have to do only with maybe an agreement we had at the subconscious level. We ask for help at the subconscious level first, and then a soul decides to come and help us. our spiritual guides help us with those challenges, and then you will meet that soul in your physical life later. So all the encounters and decisions and agreements are first occurring at the subconscious level and then in the physical life. And yes, they can be people from other lives or people you just meet. You're both the teacher and the student, and everyone is the same in all the physical lives.
So let me get your take on this age-old question, and that has to do with soulmates. Is there such a thing? And if so, what are soulmates?
Soulmates are souls that have reached the same level of evolution. So basically, it depends on your level of evolution, how many soulmates you have. Irregularly, souls have many soulmates. Only if you're a very, very evolved soul, a very high-frequency soul, then the number of your soulmates will be much more reduced. And at the highest level, you don't really have soulmates anymore. A soul of the size and level of, let's say, Jesus or Buddha or Krishna, they don't have soulmates anymore. They are that frequency. They're so big and so evolved that they are that frequency.
Well, so the Hallmark card version of soulmates is, you know, this is a person that you're destined to be with and that you knew this person. You've traveled through various incarnations with this same person, so you are destined to be together because you are, you know, soulmates. That's entirely different than what you're describing.
Yes, but destiny, what is destiny? Destiny and free will, you know, people have this discussion. Do we really have destiny or do we have free will? In a sense, we have both. Destiny is, in a sense, the parameters you decide to have in this life. You create a life with infinite versions of this life, and it depends on you of what versions you access in every moment that will determine your experience. So basically, that's where the free will comes into play. Basically, you can walk the path of this life as the creator of your life, feeling wonderful, not buying into the drama the negative ego creates, and remembering who you truly are, that you are a positive being, that every situation in life is just an opportunity to exercise your unconditional love, to create more positive energy, to evolve and progress. Or you can choose to walk in this life as a victim, that everything is against you and that nobody loves you and things like that. It is up to you how you choose to walk in this life, what path you take.
East of the Rockies, Woody is in Whitehall, Pennsylvania. Woody, good morning.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about the soul evolving and we reincarnate. We keep coming back to learn these so-called valuable lessons. So after we learn all these lessons, then what is the end game? I mean, what we become like a perfect soul, and what is the bottom line? After there's got to be a point where we evolve to where we've learned all the valuable lessons. So then what? What is next after?
Great question. Woody, you're a no-nonsense guy. What's the bottom line, Dr. Gabor?
When you reach the highest levels of evolution, those highest frequencies, you will get to reunite with the source itself. You return to the source that gave birth to you, in a sense.
All right. Woody, is that satisfying?
I didn't quite understand. Do we start over then, or
you reunite with a source? You become one with God in religious terms. You reunite with a source. You reach that level of evolution, knowing all the lessons, being everything, experiencing everything. You get to the level of ultimate knowledge, the ultimate level of evolution, where you will reunite again with a source of life.
I hear you. So, and then we're done.
Yes.
All right, Woody.
Yes, you're done in a in the sense of reincarnation. You get to experience absolutely amazing states of being in that state. You get to experience what it means to be one with pure, unconditional love, what it means to be one with wisdom, with God, with the Source. You become part of the Source itself.
That's why I guess they have the on the flag of India, they have that spinning wheel. That's the end game, right? Get off this Hindu wheel of life.
Yes, yes. Probably that's what it signifies.
All right. I think we have time to squeeze in one call here before we break. West of the Rockies, Joan is in Glendale, California. Good morning, Joan. Welcome to Coast.
Thank you so much. Great show. I wanted to ask Dr. Gabor about books like the Tibetan Book of the Dead that talk about true science that goes beyond this holy left brain intellectual science where they're constantly grasping to understand from a point of observation the soul and states of consciousness, where it in depth goes through the experience of the soul in the approximately 49 days after the physical body dies and explains very precisely and clearly the different states of death of even the physical body, the inner and outer respiration that the body goes through as it's dying, and what the soul is actually experiencing and how different states of consciousness arise that will determine the next existence, the next birth. So I just wanted you to speak to that in your experience.
Okay,
are you,
Joan,
hearing experiences of that?
All right, Dr. Gabor, you've got about a minute and a half to sum up your thoughts on the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Go.
It's so much to share about that. We actually touched a little bit on that with a journey of souls as we exit a physical life, go to the light, go to all those dates where we are evaluated by our spiritual guides. We decide what we choose to do next, whether to stay home or incarnate. And then if we choose to incarnate, we get into a process of training to create that life, to create all those versions of life, to make the agreements with the people we're going to engage, who's going to help us, who we're going to help. After we go through that training, we get into the river of life. And from the river of life, we get into that hole that child was describing, the one that got a ticket from God and entered through a hole into this reality. It's actually through the river of life, you enter like a whirlpool, an exit from the higher dimensions to the lower dimensions that my clients describe, multiple people have described to me in hypnosis, that transition from the higher dimensions to the lower dimensions and entering the mother's womb at the moment of conception and starting a new life.
Dr. Gabor, Cat Stevens, and the wind takes us into a break. Back on the other side with more of our conversation on reincarnation here on Coast to Coast AM.